Praise Him, praise Him, let the blessed Redeemer sing all earth His wonderful works of grace. Hail Him, hearts that angels implore Him.
Have faith in God. We'd love to hear that as well. We got a guest with us today, Miss Dunaway, Holly. She grew up in this church. I don't know if y'all remember her mom who married Marty Connor. Y'all remember that? So anyway, she's working in East Africa as a translator for Wycliffe Bible. And so we want to keep her in our prayers. Good to find out where you are, and glad to have you here today. All right, any prayer needs today or praises? Everybody's prayed up. That's great. All right. Well, we do want to pray for Wayne and Janet. They're trying to get back home. Hopefully they'll get home sometime today. You know, they had to go out to Hawaii and suffer for Jesus. But,
yeah.
Yes. Nikki O'Connor. Pray for him as well. Okay, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, I'm so thankful, Lord, for the faithfulness of you always being there, listening to our hearts' needs. And Lord, the prayers that are lifted up to you, I know, Father, you care about every one of them. And Lord, you're in the process of doing something in every person's life. And I thank you that we can always call upon you. Lord, you're an awesome God. You love us so much. I thank you for just being there. I pray that you'll be with Mickey. I pray that you'll do what you need to in that situation. Lord, I just pray that you'll continue to be with our families and just keep us safe and help us, Lord, to be out there sharing the good news with people all around us and letting them know how much you love them. Lord, I pray more than anything the voice of love would speak to this community. There's a lot of hurting people. And I just pray, Father, that they will see and hear about your love through us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. You can be seated on this one. We'll sing to you this one. Since Jesus came into my heart, what a wonderful change in my life has been brought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy of my soul like the sea.
There's a
Pastor, you want to go to Children's Church? Oh, okay.
Yeah, you'll have to take over here.
Okay, all right. All right, let's sing Jesus is All the World to Me.
Jesus is all the world you need. My life, my joy, my all. He is my strength. From day to day, without Him I would fall. When I am sad, you hear my goal. No other one can make me whole. When I am sad, He makes me glad. Eternal life.
Well, will you take your Bibles this morning and open to Mark chapter 3 as we continue our study through the book of Mark. We'll be looking at verses 13 through 19 today. Chapter 3 of Mark. Jesus went up to the hills and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. And he appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach, and to have authority to drive out demons. These are the 12 he appointed: Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, to him he gave the name Boanerges, which means sons of thunder, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Father, I come to you today, and I ask you, Lord, again to speak to us by your word. Father, it seems that these 12 men that Jesus called to follow him all had different personalities. They all had different focuses, and many of them were used amazingly by you. In fact, 11 of these 12 had to suffer because of you. But Lord, we are so grateful for them, and we're grateful for you, and we're grateful for the love that you give us. Father, you choose people to use. Lord, you've chosen everyone who's come to know you as Savior and Lord to use. We all have a purpose. We all have a plan from you. And I pray, Lord, that we will stand on that and do what's right because of your calling. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your outlines there, just want to begin by saying this passage is special because it reminds us that anyone who will follow the Lord can be used by the Lord. As we look at the kind of men Jesus chose and used in those days, it gives us hope in the days that we're living. He can use you and me because we all have a place in His service. I remember back in seminary in Fort Worth when we were going through the book of Mark, and it was a wonderful study. And I remember Dr. Gideon, as he was going through this whole section right here, and he was talking about each of these individual disciples. Not a lot are known about some of them personally, but it's interesting that when you look at these 12 men that the Lord chose to walk alongside him and to learn from him so that they could then take what he was saying and give it to other people, give it away, which is what God wants to do. He wants to give his life away to anyone who will receive it. But some of these guys were probably not very good at public speaking. I mean, think about it. Some of them were just fishermen. That's all they'd ever done was fish. One of them was a tax collector. You know, these people were not the kind of people that we probably would have gone out and tried to get them to come in, you know, to be a part of. They were just average, normal people. But God used them in amazing ways. And in fact, we're here today because of these guys. Because if they'd not done what God had called them to do, we would never have heard the good news. And I praise God for the fact that even though they weren't perfect, in fact, it's a good thing for us too, because He didn't choose us because we're perfect either. Right? We all have flaws. We all make mistakes. We all do things we know are wrong. But God used these men. And so we're going to take a look at that today. First of all, in verse 13, Jesus went up to the hills and called to him those that he wanted, and they came to him. You see, the Master was calling them for a reason. He had prayed, in fact, in Luke chapter 6, verse 12, is a picture of this prayer that he had been praying as he'd gone up to the mountain. You recall that he'd spent all night praying. He'd spent all night in prayer. Have you ever spent all night in prayer? There's a few times in my life when I really needed to pray all night. Sometimes we just need to hear from God. And praying doesn't necessarily mean you're talking the whole time. In fact, sometimes it's just being still and listening to Him. Jesus had spent the night in prayer. The choice of these disciples was critical. Now, it's not like Jesus didn't know who He's going to choose, because He knows everything. He's God. We need to be reminded that He's not praying because He didn't know who He's going to pick. Jesus knows all things. But He did this to set an example for us all, that we should be praying over every decision that God gives us. I think sometimes we think, I've got this from God, I'll take care of it. You know, I know what I'm supposed to do. I don't need... No, we need to be praying over every decision that we make. Because some of the decisions that we make have eternal ramifications. Sometimes we just need to realize that even though something sounds right and it looks right, it may not be right. And the only one that can let us know that is the Spirit of God as we pray. Prayer should be our priority. In fact, let me just say this. If we're not praying, then we're not following Him. You might say, well, we pray over every meal and, you know, we pray every once in a while. No, prayer, as Paul reminds us, is constant. It's to pray without ceasing. It's to be in an attitude of conversation with the Lord on a constant basis. To abide in Him. You see, He set prayer as an example for us to follow. It's a priority, and we ought to be following that. Jesus didn't have to pray. He wanted to pray. And He showed these that He would call all through those 3.5 years that they spent with Him how critical it was to pray. Many times they would say, where's Jesus? Oh, He got up early this morning. He's out praying. He was setting an example of how important prayer is. And then His choice, the choice of these 12 disciples, He already knew who they were going to be. In fact, He already knew how it was going to come out. But He chose these particular disciples for a reason. Matthew writes that these men were called apostles, which means those who are sent out with orders. In other words, Jesus was going to choose 12 men that He would then turn around and send out with orders. Now, I haven't been in the military. I was in the ROTC for a short time in college. But I did have somebody in the ROTC that would give orders. And so when they gave orders, what do? You follow. Especially if you're in the military and you get an order, you better follow it. Because if you don't, you're going to be in big, big trouble, right? Because the orders are carried down from the top. Jesus was going to be giving them, not in the aspect of where we would think sometimes militarily, you know, you're going to do this and do it now type thing. But He was going to give them direction all along the way. These were apostles that were sent out with orders from God. It comes from a term that means a representative of the king, one who speaks with the king's authority and must not be ignored. In other words, these apostles, when they spoke, it was as if it was coming straight from the mouth of God. I think about Peter. Now, he was the one who a lot of times spoke and then he thought about something. Some people say, you know, the only time he opened his mouth was to take one foot out and put the other foot back in. But the fact is that Peter, even though sometimes he jumped out and did things he shouldn't have done and said things he shouldn't have said, and even on that night when Jesus was arrested, he was approached by someone and said, yeah, you're one of those disciples. And he said, no, I don't know him. Now, how could Simon Peter do something like that? Oh, put yourself in that position. We probably would have done the same thing. There's nothing special about these men. In other words, they were not, great orators. I mean, they were fishermen, most of them. I mean, you know, shepherds taking care of. They weren't the kind of people that we would normally think would be the great people that would be a standout and be great personalities and be, you know, have all this charisma about them. There was nothing special about them. They were willing to learn, and they were ready to follow. In fact, when you stop and look at all the disciples and how they were called, Jesus would walk by and say to them, "Follow me," and they followed. Well, wait a minute. There was one situation in Scripture where the guy says, "Hey, I'll follow you, Lord, but I need to go back home and take care of some stuff, and I need to tell my folks bye." And he says, "No, you follow me." Are we going to follow the Lord like that? Are we willing to just give in to His authority? He knew each one of these disciples would be used and had specific abilities. And when you stop and go through the gospel and you see the different ones of these that are mentioned and some of the things that happened personally in their lives, you will see each one of them had very special abilities and the ability to reach out to people. I think every single one of these guys, when you stop and think about it, every single one of these guys had one thing that all the rest of them had as well. They had a love for listening to the Lord. Multiple times in Scripture, when Jesus was speaking, they said, "Lord, tell us about that. We want to hear about that." They wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. So this choice that the Lord made was so important, is important enough that He listed them out as apostles, and He used each one of them in different ways. And you might say, "Well, what did He mess up on Judas Iscariot?" God didn't mess up. Before He even called Judas, He knew what Judas would do. And I think sometimes we think, "Well, there's some bad people in the world. How come God lets those bad people be in this world?" God uses every single person for a reason. You might not see it from this side, but there's a reason for everything that goes on. And the reason is this: God wants to bring attention to Him, that He loves you and He cares about you. So then we see the mission of these guys, verses 14 and 15. It says, "He appointed them, He designated the apostles, that they might be with Him, that He might send them out to preach, and to have authority to drive out demons." Now, so He had a mission for them. First of all, His mission was for them to get to know Him. That's what discipleship is. It's learning. As a disciple of Christ, they were learning more and more about Jesus all along the way. The Scripture says that they might be with Him. What that means is they spent their whole time with Him. It wasn't like they went with Jesus on one day and then went fishing the next day. They were always with Him, everywhere that He went. One of the things that did was they got to see God at work. Can you imagine that? I mean, I would love to have been there for a week, just for a whole week following Jesus and seeing everything that He said, hearing everything He said, and seeing the things that He did. For 3.5 years, they got that experience. This is the picture, by the way, of abiding with Him continuously. Where He went, they went. Now, you might think, "Well, how do you do that? How do you just get up and leave your job and go do that? How could they have chosen to do this? I mean, wasn't that hard on them and their family situations? Probably was. But they were chosen by God for a reason. So if they could spend time with Him. Why is that important? Because He wanted them to have real, personal fellowship with Him. There's a lot of people that know about God, but they don't know God. There were a lot of people alive during this time that had heard about Jesus, but they didn't know Jesus. In fact, I dare say that almost anywhere in this country, you could go and ask somebody if they've ever heard about Jesus, and they'd say, "Yeah, I've heard about Him." They probably have. But they probably don't know Jesus. The word "know" really means to have a relationship with Him. And Jesus was spending these 3.5 years building a personal fellowship and a relationship with these men. James chapter 4, verse 8 reminds us of that. Come near to God and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You might say, wow, that sounds pretty harsh, but the fact is that's what we are without Christ. We're sinners. Would anybody in here say, I'm not a sinner? Of course we would. We are. Everyone knows that we failed. Everyone knows that we've made mistakes. We need Him in our lives. We need a relationship with Him. Jeremiah 29, verse 13 says, you seek me and you find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I think there's probably a lot of people that heard Jesus and, well, they came out to a big, you know, crowd of people there and listened to what he might have had to say and thought, wow, this guy's pretty good at preacher or what. And he healed that guy, saw that, that was amazing. But then they probably went back home and just went back to their own business. Do you think people could do that after seeing Jesus? Yeah, they could. Because it was obvious there were so many of them at the end that hated him, they wanted him dead. And the interesting thing is that the most religious people of that time hated him. They didn't want to hear the stuff he was saying. They thought it went against everything that they believed. But it did not. Because he was the one that wrote it. And then he made this declaration, I'm going to send you out to preach or proclaim the good news. Listen, folks. That's our job too. Even though we're not one of His personal apostles that are walking along with Him every single day, guess what you are? You are a personal disciple of His that should be walking along with Him every single day. Right? And so we have the Great Commission given to us just like they did. The good news that Jesus came into the world, He needed them to preach and proclaim the good news. That He had come into this world for a reason. There was a purpose for Him coming. And the good news that He came to become our sacrifice for sin. I think if people were honest, and I think we should be, if people were honest as Christians, they'd probably say the hardest thing it is for me to do is to share the gospel with somebody. And why is that? I've wondered that many times. I've wondered, why don't we speak up when we should speak up? Why don't we share the good news when we should share the good news? What is it that keeps us from doing that? Are we afraid of what somebody else might think about us? Are we afraid we might mess up on one of the steps? What is it? And the bottom line must be fear. But fear doesn't come from God. Comes from the evil one. He wants you to think you'd mess it up. He wants you to think that you don't know enough. He wants you to think that it's not all that important right now. They'll finally probably hear about it somewhere down the line. No, God has called us all to be His ambassadors. And then He said, not only are you going to declare the good news, you're going to demonstrate it. And everywhere that Jesus went, He healed the sick and infirm, and He cast out evil spirits. And you might say, well, why those two things everywhere that He went? During these days, there was no greater way to reach somebody or to touch somebody than to let them know how much you love them. And it's still the same for today. People just want to know you love them. That they're acceptable. That you don't look at them with disdain. That you see something in them and you care about them. That's what people want to know. Isn't that what you want to know? That you're loved? You want to know that He cares about you? You want to know that other people care about you? That's what people want to know. And that's exactly what Jesus did everywhere He went. These signs of casting out evil spirits and healing the sick showed who He really was. Because He's the only one who was able to do that. No one else could do those kinds of things. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, then, is that key for us. Jesus came to his disciples after he'd been crucified, after he was resurrected. He came to his disciples and he said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples, just like I made disciples to you, of you. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age." Now folks, when Jesus says that, can you take that as the truth? Amen. And so when he tells us these things, we can do these things because of who he is. And then his compassion. It was obvious that Jesus loved these men. Back in verse 5, he had talked to this man who had stubborn, or the people around thought he was, his heart was stubborn. And he said, "Stretch out your hand." And these Pharisees, they're thinking, "No, he's going to do this on the Sabbath." They were so stubborn towards listening and hearing the love of God. But he had compassion for that man. And he had compassion for every person that was brought to him. This man needed help. And what did Jesus do? He met his need. People need help. People need the Lord. People need to know that they're loved. There's no greater need in this world. There's no greater need in this community than people knowing that they're loved. So then we have a list of the men that he called out and their names. Now it's significant because each one of these men were used by God. We start out with Simon Peter. Jesus gave him the name Cephas, which means rock or stone. He was kind of the leader of the group's disciples. He was the outspoken, opinionated, and used in a mighty way in the early church. In fact, Simon Peter was singled out by Jesus after his resurrection, and he said for them to go and tell the disciples and make sure you tell Peter. Why did he do that? Because Peter was probably beating himself up over and over and over again for the fact that he said, "I don't know the man." Jesus was saying, "I'm not done with you, Peter. In fact, greater things will you do." And he used him in an incredible way. In fact, it was on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came and rested upon all those that were praying in the upper room, that then Peter went out and he began to preach, and 3,000 people came to know Jesus that day and were baptized. Then there was John, part of the inner circle with Simon and James. Peter, James, and John, they were kind of the leaders of the group. John was known as the beloved disciple. He wrote 5 books of the New Testament. In fact, when you read through the Gospel of John, and when you read the letters of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and when you read the book of Revelation, you're impacted by the fact that John did everything that he did because he loved the Lord. That's a great testimony for anybody. Do we do what we do because we love the Lord? Then James. He was the third of the group, of that inner group. He was a fisherman who became the first pastor of the early church in Jerusalem, and he was ultimately put to death for his faith. Now, it's again interesting that the religious people of that day were the ones who were always behind something like this. They would go to the Romans and they'd say, "Listen, these guys are causing a lot of problems here in town. You know, people are getting baptized and stuff, and they're not following the ways that they should be following. The laws that we came up with, they're not doing what we want them to do." And we need you to do something about it. And so many people were put to death because they followed Jesus. Andrew was the brother of Simon Peter. He was a fisherman as well. And he was always bringing people to meet Jesus. Folks, there's nothing better you could do than to bring somebody to meet Jesus. That's what we're supposed to be doing. How would you like to be known as the person who is always bringing people to Jesus? I'd love that. Philip, there's not much recorded about him except that he goes to tell Nathanael, who is also called Bartholomew, about Jesus. But listen, folks, that's what he's known for. Maybe that's the best thing you could be known for. Best thing I could be known for. That you go and tell people about Jesus. There's nothing better than that. And then Bartholomew, the one that he went to tell about Jesus, he was also known as Nathanael, and he was very honest and had great convictions. Anytime he's mentioned in Scripture, it had something to do with his honesty and his convictions. And then there was Matthew. You remember him? His name was Levi. He was a tax collector. Jesus saw him sitting by the road, and he called him to follow him, and immediately he got up and followed the Lord. He didn't even ask somebody to take over his spot. He didn't make sure. I mean, he just got up and followed Jesus. People hated Matthew. They hated him because he was a tax collector for the Romans. He was a traitor to his people. What kind of a witness would he be for Jesus? A saved one. One that's changed. He was Levi. Now he went by Matthew. And he wrote one of the Gospels, the very first Gospel in Scripture. There was Thomas. Many times he was known as Doubting Thomas. Because he kind of wanted to see first, and then he would believe. But he was willing to die with Jesus. That's what it took. He was willing to die with him. And he ultimately did die for Jesus. James, the son of Alphaeus, we really don't know much about him. The only thing is his mother was at the cross when Jesus was crucified. She was one of the women there at the foot of the cross with Mary. Thaddeus, not much is written about him except that Luke also called him Judas, the son of James. But he followed Jesus. And maybe if you look down the line far enough of people who have followed Jesus, disciples who have followed him, you might see your name there. And it might say, there's not much known about them except they followed Jesus. Simon the Canaanite, known as a very zealous person. He was probably a zealot who heard from John the Baptist first and then followed Jesus. He wanted to overthrow the Roman reign in Israel. He thought the Romans were the problem in the country. And he was very political, and he wanted to stand against the oppression from the Romans. But the fact is that God then turned all that zeal into a love for people. And then there's Judas Iscariot. He was the crooked keeper of the treasury of the group. He ultimately sold Jesus out to the Romans for a few silver coins. He later was smitten by what he had done, and he took his own life. And you might say, why in the world would Jesus pick Judas? Because Jesus already knew what the outcome is. He knew there had to be somebody who would do this, and he picked Judas. See, I love this the phrase that Tim Shepherd used to sing about. He'd say, he was born to live, to die again. Jesus knew from the very beginning what the end would be. And he came anyway. Now, if you knew you came to this earth for a reason, But you knew that it would ultimately cause you to be put to death. It'd be kind of scary. It'd be kind of hard. I don't know how we would feel about that. But Jesus came anyway. He knew what he needed to do. And there was victory on the cross because he paid for our sins. And there was victory from the grave when he rose again. We see these 12 men listed out here, but their natures are a lot different. Some of them were brash. Some of them were very quiet, laid back. Some of them were kind of funny. We see funny things that are spoken of many different times. There were all kinds of different personalities. Now, why do you think Jesus did that? Because we all have different kind of personalities. We all have different kinds of gifts. We all have different ways of thinking about things. But every single one of these people he picks for a reason. They give us hope because God can use anyone. Do you believe that? I do. I mean, he spoke through a donkey, right? He can use anyone. And he will use anyone who will submit themselves to him. Because in their weaknesses, God made them strong. That's what God does. He takes our weaknesses, and in the midst of that weakness, he makes us strong. Because it's in that weakness that we find that we don't have what it takes, but he does. He has everything that we need. They were lacking in so many ways, and yet Jesus showed that he can use anyone. And his power came through. And because of these 11 faithful disciples, we're sitting here today. It's the only way we'd know about Jesus. Because they began to tell the world. And that's exactly what happened. And he wants to use us just as much. And he will if we'll just make ourselves available to him. Has Jesus called you to follow? Has he called you to tell people about him? Has he called you to stand up and make a difference? Has he called you to care about people like he loves them? Even if they're not lovely? Even if they're not somebody that you would go to, you'd still go? God loves you so much. Are you willing to follow him? Would you be willing to follow him if he called you? Well, he has. Scripture reminds us that we are now his ambassadors as though he is making his call through you. So that's what we need to do. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this day and opportunity to hear about these men and their faithfulness to do what you called them to do. And many of them were just common, ordinary people who really didn't have what we would think of as a charismatic personality or a ability to sway the crowds. And yet, you used them anyway. Because people don't need to see us. They need to see you in us. And that's what makes all the difference. They need to see that God can use every single person. And he wants to, because he loves people so much that he wants them to be reached. So Father, I pray that this word today will take root in our hearts as a motivation for us to not be quiet, not to give up, not to lose hope, not to throw in the towel, but to continue to live for you no matter what, and to give ourselves totally to the things that you have for us. Father, I pray that we will be like that, that you will use us, every bit of us. So so that people can be touched for you, reached for you. They can know the good news. Well, Lord, I pray if there's somebody today who's not yet trusted you as Savior and Lord, that this would be the day. This would be the day that they say yes to you. Whether you're listening online or you're here in this building, just know God loves you so much, more than anyone else could ever love you. And He proved it by giving His life and paying for your sin debt and for mine. He loves you so much. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Maybe you need to know Him today. Would you just let go of your selfish desires and let go of all the things that you think are important, but just let go and say, Lord, I need you. The things of this world have never brought me what I'm looking for. Lord, I need you. I want your forgiveness in my life. I want you to be my Lord. I want to follow you all the days of my life. If that's where you are, would you just give Him your life today? We're going to have a time of invitation in just a moment. I'll be here at the front if you'd like to come and let me know you want to give your heart to Christ. I'll sure help you do that. Share with you what Scripture says about it. If you're looking for a church home and you feel like this is where you want to be, serving the Lord together with the body of Christ here, we'd love to have you. But we're not looking to try to fill up a role just so we can say we have a full role. We're just trying to tell people how much God loves them. That's all that matters. Whatever it is that God's saying to you this morning, we're going to stand in just a moment and begin to sing this hymn of invitation. And as we do, I'll be here at the front if you'd like to come. Let's stand.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take my cross and follow me. When He leads me, I will follow. I will follow. When He leads me, I will follow. I'll go with Him all the way. I'll go with Him through the garden. I'll go with Him through the garden. I'll go with Him through the garden. I'll go with Him all the way. He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. I'll go with Him all the way.
Thank you, folks. You may be seated. Let me just share with you a couple of announcements today. If you have this little handout that was inserted in your bulletin, it just reminds us there's going to be a woman's Bible study at Loudy Simpson on July the 19th. So if you want information about that, you can see Cheryl Ivey for more details. And then there's going to be an Elkhead Splash and Play Sunday, July 24th. We're going to meet at the church parking lot at 1:30. Bring stuff to swim or fish or paddleboard or kayak or just a chair to sit and visit or whatever you want to do to soak up some sun. And bring some sunscreen, please. because you'll probably need it. We meet together on Wednesday nights at 6:30, so we'll be here Wednesday nights for Bible study. Then we're also going to have a fifth Sunday sing, which is July 31st at 6 p.m. What we're going to do on that Sunday, we're going to have an ice cream social. Afterwards, if you want to sing a song or you want to hear a special song or you have requests for Tom and Darla to sing for us or whatever, just let them know, and we're just going to have a time of worship and praise on that night. I think it's a wonderful thing for us to do. Our men's prayer breakfast will be coming up on August the 6th, so that's our next one for that. All right, anything else I need to share? All right. Well, I'm glad the air conditioner's working. It's been warm lately. All right, well, let's stand. We're going to close with a word of prayer. Thanks for coming today. Brother Robbie, would you lead us in prayer?
Father, we just thank you for the day that you've blessed us with. Father, give us the courage and the spirit to go out in the world to share your love. We just thank you for Jesus.
Sing with me real quick. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Amen. See you next week.
Yes. Yeah.